Tonight, President Obama will deliver a speech in which he's expected to formally announce his executive order to halt the deportation of millions of immigrants in the country illegally.
Details about the president's action began to emerge last week. The exact number of immigrants being shielded from deportation remains to be seen. It's likely to be around 5 million people. Those without criminal records would be able to apply to work legally in the country and not be deported.
Immigration has been a contentious topic in Washington, and the divided legislature hasn't been able to agree on any reform during the past 6 years. President Obama says congressional inaction is leading him to take matters into his own hands with an executive action.
Republicans have called the president's actions illegal, say they will move to bar the order from taking effect however they can. Here to talk about the politics and some of the legality behind the president's expected action is Ken Mayer. He's a political science professor at UW-Madison, specializing in presidential powers. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So at issue is can the president really do this? So what is an executive action? How much latitude does a president have?
It's a difficult question to answer because the answer is not clear. The president can do via executive action anything that he can validly do through the exercise of constitutional or statutory powers. The problem is that the boundaries of those powers are often unclear. And so ultimately, I think the fallout from this is more likely to be political than legal.
Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of pushback back and forth for this, not just in the Obama administration, but for decades, it seems like. What is the purpose of executive action? Is it usually in a case like this where the president says Congress should be doing this, they're not, so I'm gonna, or are there usually different reasons given?
Well, acting in the face of congressional inaction is one reason you see it. More often, you see it whenever the president sees an opportunity to implement his policy preferences. And this actually goes all the way back to George Washington, who got into trouble with his neutrality proclamation in 1793. Almost every president, and certainly every president who's done anything significant, has made use of executive orders or the full range of actions or unilateral presidential action.
So in this case, one of the arguments we've been hearing in favor of what the president is apparently going to do is when it comes to law enforcement at the federal level, you're going to be able to do some things and not other things given limited resources. This is a matter of reprioritizing how we use the resources. Therefore, the argument goes, this is perfectly within the president's rights. Is there merit to that kind of argument?
There is some. There are other arguments that probably are a little more applicable. One of them is the use of prosecutorial discretion, that it is longstanding principle that it is an executive presidential power almost exclusively to decide the circumstances and conditions under which the laws will be, people will be prosecuted for law violations. And that's something that virtually nobody else, neither Congress nor the courts, can compel the president to prosecute when the president does not wish to. And that's the basis of this order. It's a temporary reprieve that signals to the people to whom the order applies that if they meet the conditions that the executive branch will not initiate deportation proceedings. But it's not permanent. It could certainly be revoked by a subsequent president. But one of the reasons we're seeing controversy is that this takes place in the context of an ongoing battle between Congress and the president over control of policy.
Now, as you say, this is temporary. This isn't an amnesty, a full-on amnesty, saying, hey, as of now, you're cool. Even if you're here illegally, you can get a green card. You can start moving towards citizenship.
More or less, that's correct. Now, certainly the president conceivably does have that kind of authority by issuing a prospective pardon, but that's not what we're talking about here. This is a temporary reprieve against deportation.
Now, let's get to the reaction, mainly the reaction from Republicans in Congress. Mitch McConnell saying, hey, we're going to do something. We're not quite sure what yet, but his colleagues throughout Congress are laying out all sorts of alternatives. What is the range of reactions available to Congress?
Well, Congress can do any one of a number of things, ranging from refusing to take action on some other priority that the president has. Ted Cruz of Texas has suggested that the Senate refuse to confirm any more presidential nominees. There are other suggestions of taking legal action, initiating litigation. tinkering with budget requests all the way up to shutting the government down through refusing to pass appropriations. And there are some Republicans who are even talking about impeachment.
Do you think it's going to come that far? We'll go to the brink of another fiscal cliff type shutdown of a serious movement toward impeachment?
Unlikely, but possible. Mm-hmm. One of the issues is that this is for the Republicans in Congress. They are facing issues with the leadership and the more conservative Tea Party wing of the party. And it's not always clear that the party leadership in Congress has the ability to control what the various members of the caucus will do. So I imagine there will be some ongoing discussion and controversy within the Republican Party about what the appropriate action should be.
Well, you mentioned possible stalling on nominees. The country's going to need a new attorney general. Maybe in this lame duck Congress, though it's looking like it'll be the new all-Republican-led Congress. Do you see that as a potential forum, arena for debate, for questioning of this decision?
Sure. And in the course of hearings that the Senate Judiciary Committee will call, that's one of the issues that I'm quite confident they will question the nominee about. And all of this comes down to the fact that this is largely a political controversy, a political dispute. It is very unlikely, in my view, and I've been looking at the range of opinions that constitutional scholars have been writing, that it's almost impossible to imagine a court stepping in and telling the president that he can't do this or ordering the president to begin to suspend the policy.
Well, as a political issue, a big question is why now? Why didn't this happen either before Election Day or after a new Congress was confirmed?
Well, I think the explanation is, had the president done this a few months before the midterms, where he got hammered in any event, it would have been worse because it would have galvanized more opposition during midterm elections. It's been well established that people who are angry and unhappy are much more likely to turn out, and that was happening in any event. But had Obama taken this action before that, it would have been, I think, worse. I think one of the reasons he is taking the action is that he laid down this marker a while ago, saying that he was going to take action, and faced pressure from within the Democratic base, the Democratic constituency, that was putting pressure on him.
Well, looking to future politics, this will rally the Republican base looking ahead to 2016. But is there a payoff for Democrats rallying people who are in favor of immigration reform?
Well, it's not clear. I think this certainly will connect the Democrats with Latinos, which is an important constituency. But there have been efforts by the Republicans to do something to try to improve their position among Latinos, and this will become part of that. But I think it's a little early to think about the implications of this for the 2016 election.
We're speaking with Ken Mayer. He is a political science professor here at UW-Madison. We're talking about President Obama's announcement that's expected this evening that he's going to block deportation of millions of undocumented immigrants.
And we'd like to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president's expected executive action on immigration? Is he getting things done where Congress hasn't, or is he overreaching? And what do you expect to see in the political fallout? Call 800-642-1234, or you can also post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we'll get into what we're hearing from some states, including Texas's governor, on this issue, and talk about what this might foretell about the potential for compromise and cooperation between the president and a Republican Congress. Stick around. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back with Ken Mayer, political science professor at UW-Madison. He specializes in presidential powers. We're talking about President Obama's coming announcement this evening that he'll block the deportations of an expected 5 million immigrants in the country illegally. He says he's taking action because Congress hasn't acted on its own to reform immigration. Republicans say he's breaking the law.
We'd like to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Should President Obama take this executive action? If you support immigration reform, do you think it should come from the president or from Congress? Or do you think the president's actions go too far or even illegal? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Tony on the line in Madison. Tony, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
What do you think, Tony?
Well, I think that it's the right call. I don't understand what Congress expected with their inability to pass just about anything. You know, I feel like they've lost the ability to compromise, and without compromise, we can't get any sort of legislation through. So the president has done exactly what he said he was going to do. You didn't get the job done. I'm going to move forward. And at least it's some sort of progress. I'm not sure if it's exactly the right sort of progress, but we're at least moving forward.
Tony, thanks a lot for the call. So Congress didn't get the job done, so the president has to. But that argument, how far does that take us, Ken?
Well, I'll give you an analogy. In 1942, during World War II, Franklin Roosevelt wanted Congress to change the agricultural price support policy. He said it was necessary for the war effort, and he told Congress that I'm going to give you 30 days to pass the legislation, and if you don't, I'm going to act as if you had. And really, basically, in the words of Robert Taft, the Senate Minority Leader, said that he had put a gun to the head of Congress. As a political matter, that argument, I think, carries some traction. As a legal and constitutional one, I think it's a little bit less persuasive, because the fact that Congress won't do what the president wants is not by itself sufficient justification for the president to go ahead and do it anyhow. It has to be based more on valid constitutional authorities. But again, this is part of the political discussion that's taking place in the context of this action, which I think are ultimately going to be more important than the constitutional issues, which I think are a little bit clearer but not quite as persuasive to people.
Staying on the political side, there was some thought that with an all-Republican Congress, you might have a unified front there and a negotiating partner in the president, and there might be room for the two sides to find compromise and cooperation here and there where they could. Is this a signal from the president that, no, I'm not really interested in playing that way?
Well, it depends on what perspective you're coming from. In the wake of the midterms, there were some indications from both the Democrats and Republicans that they hoped that they could work in a bipartisan manner. I don't think anybody really took it all that seriously, and it certainly didn't take much to render those initial promises inoperative, as one says in Washington.
Go back to our callers now with Jody in Menominee. Jody, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm mixed on whether he should be doing it, but in terms of what is happening, I am totally in support of this. I've worked with immigrants that are working on the factory farms in this area, and the owners are Republicans that would be against this. But the reality is, and all the Republican representatives know this, they are all undocumented workers. And it's this unspoken lie that everyone is pretending doesn't exist. And without those hardworking people, those farms would not be able to exist. And I'm tired of them working, you know, living off the backs of these hardworking people. And I know a lot of them personally that really are honest, working, you know, 60 hours a week and happy to do that. And I'm tired of that and them not being willing to, you know, name it for what it is.
Jody, thanks a lot for the call. Ken, is there unanimity among Republicans on this issue? Is there a business side that says, hey, we kind of need this labor, we need to reform things, versus the maybe Tea Party wing?
I think that's probably right. There is certainly among many Republicans an insistence that if the law is being violated, that those violations must be prosecuted. But there are pockets within the Republican Party, some business interests in the agriculture, hospitality industries, that they're not quite as vociferous, in part because they, in some places, they do rely on relatively inexpensive sources of labor. And I think this is another example of a possible intramural conflict within the Republican Party between the leadership and the conservatives and maybe some business interests who might be more supportive of something like this that that the president is doing. And right now, what we're hearing from is the is opposition to what the president is doing. And obviously, as often happens in these situations, we're hearing from the people who are squawking the loudest. But over time, I think the precise contours of the opposition and the possible complexity of this will become a little clearer.
One other wrinkle, Rick Perry, Republican governor of Texas, says the state is considering suing President Obama if he goes through with this. Is that something states can do to challenge executive action?
Well, they certainly can. One of the requirements that you need to show in order to get a hearing in federal court is you have to show standing. You have to show that you are explicitly harmed by the action. And from the standpoint of the states, the argument, I imagine, would be something to the effect that by granting these people limited legal status, that that is likely to pose a burden on states in terms of welfare, health care, and various forms of social services. And that will be the question of standing that gets them into the court, whether or not the states have the authority to challenge the president, particularly when we're talking about prosecutorial discretion, is much more difficult. There was a previous dispute on immigration when the Arizona sued the federal government, or maybe the federal government sued Arizona over Arizona's fairly strict immigration laws. And the Supreme Court was actually fairly sympathetic to the president, noting the wide latitude that immigration law and these constitutional principles give to the president. So they can certainly try. Whether they succeed, that's a much tougher tougher burden for the states to bear.
Back to our callers now with Jamie in Fond du Lac. Jamie, hi.
Hello. First, I wanted to say that I am disappointed that the House is not actually going to be voting on this. I really think that that's the best way that it should be addressed, and I think that that's the way that we could actually have a permanent fix. But without that, from my understanding, the president, as being the head of the executive branch, has the ability to say what laws will be enforced and in which way, just like he has put a stop to enforcing marijuana laws in the states where they have legalize this.
Jamie, thanks for the call. I mean, at some point, though, doesn't the president go to a point where he's coming into conflict with laws previously passed by Congress, Ken?
That's true. There are a couple of constitutional principles and provisions that are conflicting here. One of them is the president's plenary authority under prosecutorial discretion to decide what are the circumstances and how the Justice Department, how federal agents, prosecutors will prosecute violations of the law. And that's a well-recognized principle. There are other principles. The president has a constitutional duty to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. The president does not have the authority to nullify a law. The president couldn't stand up and say, I'm simply going to ignore this and pretend that this law had never been passed. There is no definitive answer to where the precise boundaries are when a proper exercise of power turns into an improper exercise of power. And this is a debate that has been going on. It went on at the Constitutional Convention. It's been going on since the administration of George Washington. We don't know what the boundaries are. There are arguments and authorities that one can cite on both sides. So it's not an easy question that has clear, definitive, authoritative answers.
Well, whether we're talking about immigration or another issue, do you think we're going to see more conflicts like this in the next 2 years with President Obama and Republican Senate and Congress and maybe future divided government situations?
Well, I think the long-term fallout is likely to be that whenever the president pushes the envelope of executive powers, and the fact that in this case, I think Obama is pushing the envelope a little bit, perhaps not to the point where he's bursting through them, but what that will do is set a precedent that a future president might rely on in making his or her own determination. And so you can see the arguments floating around. So some people are suggesting the Republican president in the future may simply decide that as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, they're not going to initiate action against people who refuse to pay their estate tax. And so this all takes place in the context of this ongoing dispute that is ultimately going to be resolved politically, I think, rather than legally.
Ken, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking with Ken Mayer. He's political science professor at UW-Madison, talking about President Obama's announcement coming this evening on immigration. And you can listen to that speech along with analysis tonight at 7 here on Wisconsin Public Radio.